T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Tony, let's go.
As we've been talking about all night tonight, it's been an interesting few days with everywhere around baseball because no one seems to be able to play baseball because of the weather here in the Midwest and out East. And the Cubs have been affected by that. They've had two games now postponed and played a game, an epic game that probably shouldn't have been played, at least according to their manager. Mark Gonzalez covers the Cubs for the Chicago Tribune. He's nice enough to join us here on the show. Gonzo, thanks for joining me tonight.
Thanks for having me on.
So what's this been like for you? Before we get to the team, I'm just curious about the people who cover the team. What's it been like for you to have these games that you think are going to happen and then they don't happen?
You kind of get numb and go to the ballpark or prepare for a game expecting anything to happen. I really thought that Saturday's game was going to get postponed hours, like 3-4 hours before the first pitch. In fact, I went to check out the bakery a little early across the street from Wrigley just to see how good the coffee was. But I didn't think we'd play, and we got the game in, which is another story in itself. So it's almost all hands on deck when you go to the ballpark with this goofy weather.
Was Saturday's game one of or the worst conditions that you covered a baseball game in?
I can't remember any that were worse. I mean, I think of some where it was raining and they hurried up and got the game in to make it official or to finish the game in the regulation 9 innings. But this one, just miserable from start to finish. And you know, you can pay attention to the temperature, but I just kept looking at the flags blowing out, and it was persistent. There wasn't like a lull. And I just thought, God, if I'm a fan, the first thing I'm going to do when I go home is take a hot shower for about 12-15 minutes because it looked miserable out there.
You know that I spent a lot of time covering football as part of my career, and I've talked with players about slick conditions and uniform changes, cleat changes, that sort of thing. Is there an equivalent in baseball? How did those guys get ready to play in that?
I kept looking closely at the guys that weren't wearing the ski mask, and there weren't many, if any. You know, Chris Bryant, his face was virtually covered. I think the only parts of his face that weren't covered were his eyes. Javi Baez, same thing. And then you get down to thinking about, okay, you have all this warmth on you, but can you move? And to the players' credit on both sides, they moved okay. So they weren't limited in that regard, but they had to be miserable.
Let's talk about that game itself. After, of course, they decided they're going to play, then it ends up being a crazy, crazy game. And how did the Cubs bounce back in that one? And I thought that they had some incredible at-bats in that eighth inning where they allowed Atlanta to implode instead of helping them out.
And that's a great point you make, because, you know, you look at Schwarber and people, you know, been pointing to his strikeouts early and all that, and he had a really good at-bat, especially, you know, having to survive, and he didn't chase any pitches out of the strike zone. Javi, same thing, the 3-2 count, hits the double up the middle. He didn't go chasing. He really made that guy come in with a fastball. Those were some pretty key at-bats. And to add on those runs with two out, very important, especially the way the team had been struggling the first 2 weeks with runners in scoring position. So I think their patience and selective aggressiveness paid off.
What from the first couple of weeks of interrupted baseball do you feel is real about the 2018 Cubs?
Boy, I'm not You know, I'm still trying to figure this team out. I think the bullpen probably is the one area where it seems pretty firm, in the fact that you can send any 3-4 guys out there on a given night and you're going to get quality performances. Now, the issue is, can they sustain it? And I say that because of the rotation, not pitching deep. And, you know, at some point you're going to need those guys to give you some length, but the bullpen's been really good no matter who they're facing, whether it's a lefty or righty. These guys, Joe refers to the reverse split guys and really needing a few of those, and he has them, and he's really used them very well. These guys have really answered the bell early and often.
With their bullpen, and Justin Wilson in particular, I wondered what they were going to do to try, how much of an offseason would help make him better. So far, his outings have been better. What did they do to kind of unlock what he can do?
Well, the leg kick from the stretches is high, so I think he's got better balance. But if you ask him, there's not much more. He seems to just be under control more. He did say there was an adjustment period going from switching leagues. But I think you're starting to see that fastball command come back, where it sneaks up on you, even against right-handers. You know, it's like 95, 96, and it stays around the knees instead of dipping down. And so I think that's those things stand out to me. But mostly, this seems more under control. I know he had a speed bump the other day, but for the most part, he seems like the guy that really had a powerful presence in the bullpen with the Tigers last year.
How will we know the effect of Chili Davis on the hitters?
I would think a few months into the season. You know, you go into the spring training, and it's kind of a feeling-out process. He's got so many guys to learn, and his door is always going to be open. He's going to be in a listening mode, but also tell the guys what to look for, what to expect when he's up there. You know, Bob Melvin told me shortly after he was hired that these guys are going to feel as if Chili's in the box with him, battling a pitcher, and I think that's the message that he's been able to get across. Now, though, the one thing in a few instances is having that plate discipline. I think that'll come along with time and as these guys feel more and more confident. So I would still give it, a few more weeks, but I think so far that message is starting to be ingrained in these hitters.
Talking with Mark Gonzalez, who covers the Cubs for the Tribune, talking about the rainouts, or talking about this team overall. Friday, a lot of fans were upset's probably a too harsh of a word. Concerned maybe about what they've seen from Yu Darvish, with him folding a bit after that balk call. He was having a decent start, and then things went downhill. What do the Cubs say about what they want from Darvish, what they expect, and how does that go with the rest of their rotation?
Well, I think they want him to be more comfortable. They've given him a lot of leeway in terms of pitch selection and all that. But from what I see, he relies on the slider quite a bit. And I think if he's more in an attack mode with his fastball, it can set up his other pitches very, very well. You know, one thing we haven't seen too much of is that slow curve that I think can be very, very effective. And I think everything, to me, feeds off his fastball. And I think if he can throw that more, certainly he throws 95, 96, so he can still challenge guys and get away with it, you know, a large majority of the time. So I think if he uses that more, it sets up his other pitches, because they have to respect that fastball, and he can really disrupt hitters' timing.
What do you think is the fastball, his best pitch overall? Because I know he's got like 7 of them. So, well, what's his most effective pitch?
When he spots it right, I still think it's a slider, but he tends to lean on that pitch too much, at least from what I saw. So, fastball slider combination is pretty good, but I like to see him use that fastball a little more often, and then he can set up his other pitches, whether it be a slider, or even if guys are gearing up for that 89 mile an hour slider, throw that slow curve, because certainly he can spot it pretty well, and I've seen him throw it, around 70 miles an hour, which is really disruptive to a hitter.
Have you been paying attention to what Shohei Ohtani has been doing?
Wow. You know, it's kind of funny you mentioned that, because I remember in spring training when Ichiro came up, the Lou Piniella was kind of baffled as to why he was fouling off so many pitches, wasn't putting many balls in play. Then when the season started, he was destined to be a 200-hit performer. And with Ohtani, it seems like this guy, I mean, he's really got the bat. And then what he did against the A's a couple weeks ago, flirting with a no-hitter. I mean, this guy's got a chance to be really, really special.
Were you thinking that when you – because I know you guys had a chance to see him a little bit in Arizona. Were you thinking that – because I saw some of the bumps that he was having in spring training. I was like, wow, this could be an epically bad signing. Now, granted, we're only 3 weeks into a season, and he could still end up being bad. But what he looks like right now is someone who belongs, where in the spring it must have just been a feeling out process.
Yeah, I think that's the case, because I've talked to a couple of scouts who saw him play in Japan, and they thought the bat was going to be the big issue, that he was going to get brushed back quite a bit. And it seems like he's held his own so far at the plate. And then with the power so soon, I mean, that's another added dimension. So, I mean, he seems like a very, very smart player who knows what it takes to get ready for a season.
Gonzo, if I can go backwards just a little bit, I'd love to get your opinion about what happened between the Cubs and the Pirates, and specifically Clint Hurdle versus Javier Baez and Joe Maddon. What did you think of that entire situation?
Well, I did see the bat flip right away, and I thought, uh-oh, this might not be too good. So when he came around the eighth inning, I was thinking with a decent margin that he might get knocked down. I really did. And then the pitcher threw him a slow curve for strike one. I thought, okay, we're going to move on. And then, boom, he hits the next pitch. I think it was a curve for a home run. So my only issue is, if Clint had a big issue with it, why didn't he say something right after the game instead of the next day? I was a little surprised by that. And by the same token, I give Javi a lot of credit for addressing what he did wrong, and the fact that, you know, a teammate, Pedro Strop, came over to say, hey, that's not the way you should do things. And Javi pointing out that, yeah, there are young kids watching, and I got to be a better role model in those situations. And I thought he checked off all the boxes in terms of how you handle a situation like that.
Do the Cubs open themselves up to this because they are a team filled with success and personalities that some of the rest of the teams in the National League Central seem bothered by?
Oh, I think so, but this is the way they are. You know, I always go back to what Ozzie Guillen always said. If an opponent was strutting after a home run or a strikeout, if you don't like it, do something about it. Strike him out next time, or hit a homer against the guy. That's the best answer.
Yeah, it would seem that way. Were you surprised to see Joe Maddon get involved?
No, I think Joe's going to defend his player all the way. Although, I'll put an asterisk next to it, and I think some people kind of forget about this incident. I think it was in 2015. Cubs are kind of getting beat up by the Marlins in Miami, and Junior Lake
hits
a home run.
That's right.
You know how he dug himself running around the bases, and Dan Heron was with the Marlins and Fernandez, and they're chirping at Lake as he's running the bases, and then the bench is emptied. But Joe, to his credit, told the pitching coach for the Marlins at the time, Chuck Hernandez, I think, was this, don't worry, we'll take care of it. And Joe handled it internally, and everybody moved on. Everything was fine.
Outside of that, how much do those guys appreciate Joe letting them be them?
Oh, I think they think they're grateful for having a manager like that. I mean, be yourself, you know. That's just the way some of these guys play, whether it be Javi or Carl Edwards Jr. These guys aren't robots. They're guys that play with a flair. That's just who they are. They're not phony.
You've covered Major League Baseball for a long time. I look, there are no good answers. We can't control the weather. But if Rob Manfred put you in charge and said, Gonzo, listen, we got to figure out a way to get some of these games in, or what would you suggest when it comes to late March, early April baseball in the Midwest and Northeast?
There's got to be a way you massage it. And I know the Cubs prefer to open later because of the weather, and also because of the renovations, and you don't want teams, you know, the ones that play in the same market, overlapping with their home all the time. With it, we see it on occasion here with the White Sox and Cubs, and you know, in Southern California, as well in the Bay Area. There's just got to be a way that you maximize playing in warm weather cities early, or especially, I think the main priority is playing in domes first. And I know this, there might be some pushback to those teams that have domes, but I'm sorry. I mean, we just got to maximize the facilities that are available and then go from there.
Yeah, it's rough. Like, it's, as a fan, Gonzo, it's been rough trying to get a rhythm. Like, just watching games. There were five Chicago baseball games that were washed out since Friday, and it's like, I want to enjoy baseball, and I haven't really been able to.
And you nailed it. Just, you know, baseball is a game of rhythm, and right now, you know, we're looking at two days off before the next game. It's been a long time between Saturday and Tuesday night when the Cubs play on the field again. I'm sure other teams are the same way. I mean, look at the Tigers and all the makeup games they have ahead of them. It's a challenging task.
This might seem like a stupid question, but is there any damage, since they've already done a ton of renovations over there, is there any damage that could happen? Because, you know, you're talking about not a new field, but all the construction that was done around it, and now it's got to drain and drain and drain. Are they concerned at all about the playing surface?
I don't think so. I think, you know, that field was put in a few years ago, and certainly any draining issues, I think, would have been taken care of already. You know, they did an exceptional job of clearing the snow out last week. You know, I don't think you see any around the neighborhood unless it's recent. So I think they should be okay. I was told that there was some initial leakage early in the dugouts. I think that's been resolved now. You know, I think the extra time has probably given them some extra time to adjust whatever adjustments needed to be made with the dugout. You might see a few more tweaks, but I would think that everything's been fine so far over there that you can expect.
All right, I can't let you out of here before I get some football thoughts. So who are the players that you're most looking forward to seeing what happens to them in the draft this year?
Probably in the order, I would say Rosen. He's an interesting study. I like him. I'm not saying he's my favorite, but I like him a lot. The Vita Villa guy from University of Washington, defensive tackle, that guy's a beast. I wouldn't be surprised if he's late top 10. And then the defensive back from Ohio State, Ward, interesting study. Those three guys I'm kind of keeping an eye on, because the quarterbacks, they can go anywhere possible. But I think that Rosen's an interesting study.
Did you go see Josh Allen out in Wyoming?
Yeah, I did. I've seen him play. Saw him play as a freshman and sophomore, then against Air Force when he got hurt. And I really like him. He's a tough kid.
I enjoy when you talk football, Gonzo. We need more of you tweeting about football when there's no baseball, okay, which seems to be all the time.
I kind of get too absorbed during the college football season. It's my outlet. So.
There's nothing wrong with that. Gonzo, I appreciate you jumping on. Thanks so much, and enjoy the night off, even though I know it means a doubleheader for you later on in the season. But thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Anytime. Good catching up with you.
It's Mark Gonzalez from the Chicago Tribune. He is terrific. I love talking with him. We can chat about what he had to say on the other side. 312-644-6767. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 10 on The Score.
Glad that you're hanging out. I'm holding it down until Nick Szepkowski takes over the microphone. He will do that from 10 p.m. until midnight tonight. Then Les will be on from midnight until 5 a.m. A little bit of a strange situation today, just because there wasn't even supposed to be a show today. So big thanks to Herb Lawrence and Tony Gill for their hard work in putting the show together today. We had a fun time with the show. I mean, it was weird because it's a very strange thing that happened on Saturday. For the most part, every black person involved in sports media
was at one of two events on Saturday night. Stephen Bardo, Jason Goff, and Leon Rogers from GCI and Triple Dot That I, they had like a basketball watch party over at Velvet Lounge over on Cermak, and we had a good time over there. So I saw Cameron Smith, Vinnie Goodwill was there. My man Ernest Holden, who works over at the Big Ten Network, was there. Tony and Dean Davis were there. We had a good time, like talking shop, and Cliff Levingston was just kind of hanging out. That was my favorite part. When the guys had to explain why they thought LeBron James was better than Michael Jordan in front of Cliff Levingston.
Did Tony do that?
No, it was Bardo. Bardo is the one who kind of set it off. We got to get Bardo in here. We try to get him in here this week. He's the one that kind of set it off. And it was a Facebook thing. Actually, if you go through, if we're friends on Facebook, I shared it a couple times. But he basically was like, all right, let's get into it. LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan. And the whole place is like, oh, here we go. And then we talked about that. The other event was the event with our friend Shake, Shakia Taylor, who's been on the show. She had her Jackie Robinson event over at Nisei Lounge. Herbie, did you head over there to that?
I did. It was a great time. And Tony and Ken and D were there also. A lot of people in the house. Yeah, the Bigs showed up. Our guy Carl Edwards Jr. showed up.
How about that? CJ Edwards came over.
Just strolled in.
Very inconspicuous. Very.
Well, yeah. I mean, what did you think? He's going to walk in like Ric Flair?
Usually, like, you know, celebrities, they have like some type, like a bravado or something when they walk in a room and everybody's like, but no, none of that. Walked in with a hoodie, took the hoodie off. Everybody was chill. And then somebody noticed from like a weird corner of the room, hey, Carl Jr. Everybody's turning around like, that is Carl Edwards Jr.
What was good? I mean, to go out and support, you know, Jackie Robinson Day, and it was weird with all the cancellations and stuff.
And she's supposed to come in, I think, this Wednesday, 8 o'clock.
Shake's coming in Wednesday?
Yeah.
To do my show?
To do your show. You asked for it last week.
Great. We can talk to her about her piece that she wrote about the White Sox cap for Fangraphs. She's doing, how cool is this? She's doing a residency with Fangraphs this month. That's fun. That's a lot of fun. Are we supposed to do a 9:30 update?
We're about to.
Because, like, Shep's, like, right
one
there.
Second. Yeah, 1 second.
I wasn't sure. I didn't know if, like, Shep was boycotting or what. But I'll just keep talking about the fun time. That sounds like I was going to try and do the double, man. I was desperately trying to do the double. And then I was like, it's this weather. Like, I wanted to go see Shake and support Shake because she's been great to us. But after going there and then listening to everyone, like, it was great because it was kind of like the barbershop. Like, that's what it turned into over at Velvet Lounge. But people were real nervous, and Bardo, you know, said it plain that the microphone and the camera makes people nervous. Like, people that talk hella stuff when there's no microphone or camera around got real quiet when they knew that they were going to be on Facebook Live. Herbie, let's see if we can get Bardo in here on Wednesday night, too. We got a full show.
Will do.
And we can see if we can do that. There's a lot of people I want to talk to. If Miami wins this game against Philadelphia, we might have to check in with our homie Rebecca Harlow, too. She's doing sideline reporting on this. But it was a cool night. It was great to see Leon Rogers, one of the funniest dudes, period. And seeing him, Jason, and Steven talking basketball was great. And being able to talk with fans, and I like to, you know, I like to fall back and stuff and just hang out. They gave me a microphone. I was like, man, I don't, you know, I'm just here to support. But it's good to see everybody. Vincent Goodwill's in there trolling people wearing his Detroit Tigers cap. Just trolling.
That dude is so Detroit.
He is. It's great. I got some pictures from it. Along with my weekend at Rasheed Davis's event yesterday, and Spice Adams had a crazy shirt. Saw Charles Tillman there. Got a video of him.
FBI agent.
I don't know that to be true. I don't know that to be true. He did put my arm behind my back when he saw me, though. I'm just saying. Here's Nick Czapkowski with a scoreboard update.
While I'm thanking people, the music bed that you hear created, actually all the music beds you hear on the show created by my nephew, Justin, a.k.a. Price Tag. He got them beats. He's going to be rich one day. I hope he remembers that I've like put him on. I mean, he's winning Grammys and whatnot. Did I hear that right? The Kendrick Lamar got a Pulitzer? Man. That's fancy. Kid got himself a Pulitzer.
First non-jazz or classical artist to do it.
Kendrick might be in a position to go EGOT, y'all. Because I guarantee you the Black Panther soundtrack is going to get nominated for an Oscar. And that's the hardest one to get. I don't know if he'll ever make his way to Broadway to get that Tony, but I mean, if you're in a position to maybe get a... I mean, Eminem's a go, right? He's got the Grammy and the Oscar. I don't know if he got himself an Emmy yet. But I'm sure 8 Mile can be turned into a play like that. Get himself a Tony. Oh, if you haven't checked it out on Netflix, if you're someone who enjoys a little hip-hop and learning about hip-hop, Rapture on Netflix is really good. Tony, have you seen it yet?
I have not.
You should check.
I know Logic.
Yeah, Logic is.
Yeah, I'm a Logic fan.
Logic is the first episode.
Yeah, I do have it checkpointed. I will watch it.
You should. I mean, it's good. I mean, I didn't. Look, I know of Logic, but I didn't. Wasn't really into Logic other than the Suicide Hotline song.
Yeah, he's dope.
Which I think is incredible. But his old Steph Curry looking self. But hearing his backstory was cool. And then there's one with Nas and Dave East, which is really good. And the one with T.I. is very interesting because he talked with Harry Belafonte and Andrew Young and Jane Elliott, who I didn't know lived in Chicago. I need to get Professor Elliott up in here talking that junk. And hopefully I'm going to try this week to finish Punisher. Because it's so, like, I was on a plane back from Las Vegas last week, and I was watching Punisher, and I was sitting there on the plane, like, completely enthralled. Like, I didn't care about anything but finishing the next episode. It was that good. And now I want to try and finish it this week. Because it's super good. I guess I should have taken advantage of no baseball. I did, but I just didn't. There's a lot. There's a lot to watch. I've been watching a lot of, you know, basketball coverage, and I was saying this earlier today. I don't know how the NHL can go about marketing itself better because everyone knows that the NHL Stanley Cup playoff product is great. But my God, the goals that have been scored already, like, they're sick goals. Like, sick. And I know that there's usually something special that happens once a night with a full NHL schedule. But you're seeing playoff hockey. And dudes, Pasternak is what, 2 points away from a Gretzky? I mean, that's the type of stuff that's going down. Anyway, I've already said too much. When we come back, Nick Czapkowski is going to come in here and we're going to talk about what it is he's going to do on his show. He'll be on until midnight. You're watching. You're listening to The Score. Tomorrow, our show will be on from 6 until 6:30. I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, I guess tomorrow could end up being a full show again. I could be on tomorrow from 6 until 10 if they bang the baseball game, but it looks like the forecast is a little bit better from what Alicia was saying earlier. It looks like it's a little bit better, like the sun is going to come out, but it still looks like it's only going to be about 40 degrees. I don't know how many Cubs-Cardinals games you want to push back throughout a season, but it was cool here. Merck explained that the White Sox and Twins have just kind of added on games to other series. I don't know if you want to do that with Cubs-Cardinals. I kind of want those played individually. Nick Shepkowski is here. He will be on at 10 o'clock until midnight. Hello, Shep.
It doesn't feel like baseball started yet.
Nope.
Like, it feels like it was this whole buildup, and it becomes every year, and then because of extreme circumstances, it's like, all right, when's this show actually get on the road? Whether you're a Cubs fan or a Sox fan, you just had a weekend off, essentially, of baseball. I know the Cubs had the ridiculous comeback on Saturday, but that was even in...
It was horrible.
It felt like it was partly taken from you because of how extreme and how awful the conditions were in it. It wasn't like it was like a comeback with bright sunshine and you think of baseball. You saw what that was on Saturday and you're like, man, this is just weird and strange. And it was bizarre to take that in.
You know what I think plays a role in it? I was talking about this on Friday as it has to do with the way that we overly emote with baseball, like everything is the end of the world. It's because of the buildup of it where you're so excited. You know, you hear about your teams, pitchers and catchers are reporting, blah, 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 blah. And you go through that 6-week period of kind of like, opening day, it's tradition. If you're a baseball fan, you love it, you love it, you love it. And then you get there and then you realize, man, the season is long. And the season is so long that you can afford to lose 5 games between the two teams because of weather, and you still have a lot of baseball that's left to play.
Well, and it's especially extreme now because of this year being moved up a week in order to put in 4 or 5 more days throughout the year for days off. Well, that's where the players get screwed in this, because that's what they pushed so hard for, wanting that in collective bargaining. And that's what they pushed for, was want more time off, more days off. Like, great, there it is, and here's a bunch of rain and a bunch of snow and a bunch of awful conditions all across the country.
Enjoy.
So the vast majority
headers.
Of you are going to be playing doubleheaders and going to find something else to have to complain about because of weather screwing you this year.
Well, it's interesting because I think that the Players Association kind of rested on their laurels for a little bit. I don't think that they've been as tough on ownership as they probably could be. They've been living good for the last 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. They've been living real good. And then free agency this year, they're all looking around like, wait, what happened to our dollars? Like, we were supposed to be getting big, big dollars. And the owners are like, nah, son. Nah, we're making a market correction right now with some of the things we're going to do with these contracts.
Yeah, there's that part of it. And then also, they didn't push for like the anti-Chris Bryant movement, in that Bryant was held in the minor leagues for one reason, that was for club control. Players didn't make a stink about that last time through.
Well, that's why he's going to end up being a player rep.
Well,
because he's furious about it.
That's one part of it. But it's also, they didn't take a big stance. They didn't go to Tony Clark and say, we want this worked on, we want this figured out and fixed. They're more worried about getting an extra couple days off during the season when you have that staring you in the eyes, and now that's going to be your big chip to go to next time.
Yep.
Where it should have been done last time.
Yeah, that's going to be the wedge issue, and we'll see what ends up happening.
But I agree with the players fully on it. I mean, take your rooting interest out. If you're a Cubs fan and you're thinking, hey, this is great, got Chris Bryant for an extra year.
Sure, it's great to have him for 7 years
instead of
6. But just
as a baseball fan, on opening day, you want the best players on your roster there. If you're a White Sox fan, what good is Kopech doing you right now in AAA? It's all because of club control. If you're a Sox fan, you'd rather see him playing Major League Baseball against Major League talent, wouldn't you?
Yes.
But for sole purposes of your team, it's to their benefit to keep him in the minors right now.
And they have done a very effective job, no matter what sport, a very effective job of convincing fans that losing is the way to win.
Mm-hmm.
And not everyone can do it.
Well, and baseball also has, like, people complain about the NBA. That's the easy one to target and be like, oh, rebuilds in the NBA because of a team that's on our TV right now. The 76ers and how extreme it was and how long it has taken. And, yeah, they're going to go down to 1-1 in that series. But the NBA is the one that always gets the, I guess, the beef or whatever.
The ire.
Yeah, that's what it always falls on. When baseball right now, you have a good damn near half the league that's not competing for 2018.
Not trying at all. You've got the Marlins telling you that they're based in the Virgin Islands instead of in Miami so that they can, you know, obfuscate taxes and whatnot. So, I mean, it is...
And then you bring up the Marlins, you could bring up both teams in Florida. To me, whether it's them or the Rays, there's this discussion of, oh, got to get the 32 teams and realignment and realign. You can't get 30 right. Get the hell out of here with 32. You can't get 30 right now. Get expanded.
Send Tampa to Montreal.
Disband the state of Florida from Major League Baseball and go from there.
Yeah. Like,
you can't get these 30 right. So what are you going to go add two more to mess up here, Mr. Manfred?
I don't disagree. I mean, I do think that the idea of having a team in Portland is kind of interesting, just because, like, looking at the MLS rivalry between Portland and Seattle, it's clearly like a fan base that's ready for like that next step. And I love to see MLB go back to Montreal, but if you've got teams that are failing at the rate that the Rays are failing at, where they haven't been competitive for a long time,
and
they've
no
traded
one goes.
Away their stars for
Even
the most
when
part.
You are, no one goes, and you can't figure out a stadium. You have a place where the Sox are right now in Oakland that can't get their stadium figured out. There's a ton of problems around Major League Baseball with the franchises you have. So adding two is the right answer to this?
No.
You got holes all over the place. Have you seen, you would enjoy the hell out of this, speaking of Portland baseball, have you seen the documentary, it's been on Netflix, I'm not sure if it still is, but it's got to be readily available online, The Battered Bastards of Baseball?
No.
It is a documentary on what was the Portland Mavericks minor league baseball team back in the 70s.
Huh.
It was what started independent league baseball, because it was a minor league team that didn't have an affiliation. They wanted to play in the minor leagues, so they got in whichever, I forget, the Pacific Coast League. Maybe it was a different name at that time, but they have this stadium to play in. They don't have an affiliation. So what they do is they essentially send out a want ad in Sporting News, Sports Illustrated, other sports magazines, newspapers across the country. Hey, you want to play baseball professionally? Come out here for a tryout. So the Portland Mavericks, they come into existence. They play in this rundown, awful turf stadium back in the 70s. The thing is, they beat the crap out of everyone in their league for 2 years. They're the best team in the league. No one saw it coming, and it made all the other owners in the league ticked off. How are these guys beating the hell out of us? And it turns into a heck of a story of how much they're hated across their league because they're a bunch of just, I mean, guys that are farmers, guys that are working in professions that are anything but baseball, ends up that one of the guys goes on and he founds and creates Big League Chew. It's just weird connections to baseball.
What's it called again?
It's called The Battered Bastards of Baseball, and it's all about this team in the late 70s that spent, I think it was two, maybe three seasons in Portland.
Huh.
Kurt Russell was, I forget what it was. He had a connection to that team as
well.
Well,
Kurt Russell was like a serious baseball player.
I don't remember if he played. I forget what the exact tie he had to it, but he's involved in it. It's an awesome story.
I want to say Kurt
Russell
was drafted.
Okay. Maybe. I forget what his connection was, whether it was a family member, but he had a connection to it. It's an awesome story of just, it's baseball players or wannabe baseball players from the entire country kind of finding their way to Portland, making the team, and then being the best team in the league for, I believe it was two seasons.
His dad was a professional player, Bing Russell.
Okay.
So his dad was a professional player.
Oh, he's the one that, he actually started the independent single A team.
Really?
And that was his dad.
Huh. It looks like he played for like four seasons, hit 292, 380, 365.
Oh, let's go.
But it is White like, Sox. In terms of like, I don't know, almost underground type of baseball stuff, it is awesome. Cannot recommend that enough.
All right, I'll check that out. That's right up my alley. What's on your show tonight?
Well, we're going to get into a little bit of NFL draft. The frustration of baseball and this just awful weather, and it's no one's fault. It's the problem that doesn't necessarily have a solution.
Right.
And going to get into that a little bit. Jeff Fair is going to join me at 11 o'clock, dissect the draft in terms of the Bears, in terms of what happens before the Bears, break down a lot of that. So a ton of that to get to this evening.
Yeah, we get to see Matt Nagy tomorrow.
Yeah.
His first time with his team. So we'll see how that goes with Mitchell and the boys.
It's just, it's such a weird spring because the weather builds into that, the lack of baseball. The White Sox just had a weekend off. They haven't played since Thursday. The Cubs have yesterday off. They have today off. The strangeness of all of it, and it feels like the draft is, it's at the same time it always is, but it feels like it's coming at a strange time because of the lack of baseball here in recent days in the last couple of weeks.
And
it hasn't been regular.
I also think that it's weird for us because the draft isn't here.
Yeah.
After having it for a couple of years.
Do you miss it?
No.
Like,
I don't. I truly don't.
No?
But what I will say this. What I do miss is having so many NFL people in town so that we have access to them.
Right.
Like, I miss that, but...
You had the pizza joint the one day.
Yeah,
At Geno's.
That was very cool.
That was the meet and greet. That part was neat.
You know, being able to spend a few minutes talking with Mike Mayock or Charles Davis about some of this stuff is very cool. But and it's selfish because I teach at DePaul. Usually... I teach spring quarter. So
you're right there.
Right there.
Right in the heart of it.
Like, oh my God, like right there where you'd have streets shut down. You're like, wait, what's, oh yeah, the draft is, draft, what do they call
draft
it?
Draft town.
Draft town, that's right.
I think it was draft town.
Chicago is draft town.
And they walk up and they announce Kevin White. That's who your Bears got, Chicago.
Wow.
And you're still waiting for Kevin White to do anything in a blue and orange uniform.
I mean, he looks good. He looks, you know.
Looks like he's been lifting.
He's, he definitely
doesn't
looks
look like he has that speed he was drafted for.
Well, if you got to change, you got to change.
Turned into David Boston all of a sudden.
Hey, some guy's got to change. Look, Dez Bryant's going to have to change who he is as a player.
Yeah. You know what's a weird correlation? Dez's drop-off has been immediately after the Dez catch, no catch. Like, you go look back where his career turned, and it's like he was elite. Elite receiver at that time. And his numbers since then, it was exactly when the fall came, was right after that. And I'm not saying that's why.
Well,
it's just you look at that and you're like, he has not been the same guy since then.
He didn't improve as a route runner, and his numbers with Dak are terrible.
Right.
Compared to his numbers with
Tony,
Romo.
Yeah.
It's like 20 yards a game difference between the two. So maybe that plays a role.
Where is he a fit? Like, if he goes to Green Bay, does that scare you?
Yes.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know he gets the best quarterback in the world.
I think he's also a fit in New England.
Yeah, yeah, more of a go up and get it type of guy. Belichick gonna settle for a guy that's not a good route runner though.
He'll work with him,
figure it out.
Mm-hmm. He'll figure out a way to make him trouble. He'll figure out a way to make him a 13 touchdown guy.
Get 16 games out of him at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but if he ends up in Green Bay, I do think he could be problematic.
Well, it scared the hell out of me when Jimmy Graham went there.
Yep. Oh. That's a big reason why it could be problematic. Or how much coverage
you have somebody to dictate.
Mm-hmm. Going to roll over to his side. So, anyway, Shep's coming up next. I'll be back tomorrow, 6 to 6:30. Thanks for listening to our impromptu show. Thanks to Herb and Tony for their hard work. I'll see you tomorrow, 6 o'clock, right here on The Score.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.